Elko. Tonight's program is designed to create a genuine dialogue between our elders and youth to experience each other's stories of how it is and was to be the same age.
My name is Jasmine Clark. I was born in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. I grew up in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and I still live in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota.
Okay, I'm Morningstar Belcourt. I was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we lived there for a little while, and then we moved to Utah and California, and then I took off and moved all over the country. And I now live in Park Rapids, Minnesota at this time.
What kind of responsibilities did you have at home when you were my age?
Housework, vacuumed, cleaned the bathrooms, did the dishes, ironing.
Was it strict that you had to get done? Was it something like your parents were like,
"Oh yeah,
hey, do the dishes"?
You know? Yeah, it was a weekly thing, and then we got our allowance. We got a weekly allowance.
Did you have older siblings or younger siblings that were expected to do the same?
Yeah, I had one sister that was older and a brother that was younger, and we each had chores that we had to do.
Different ones, or did you guys kind of even them out through?
There was a chore list on the wall. And then my sister had stuff she had to do, and my brother had stuff he had to do.
So it was just pretty much do it now, or did you get punished if you didn't do them? Was there a consequence?
Oh, yeah, there was. You had restrictions, you know. You wouldn't be able to use a telephone, or you had to stay home. Yeah. Did you have the same thing? Is that what you have now, or?
No. I was the baby of the family, so I wasn't expected to do much. Oh. Clean my room. If it didn't get done, it wasn't a big deal. Sometimes Mom would come in and do it for me, so.
Oh, you're the lucky one.
Yeah, I was the baby of the family, so.
Yeah, that's what we had to do, was have our room clean too, and beds made every day, and.
Yeah. Nope, it was, they'd try to make me do the dishes or something sometimes. Did it on my own, whatever.
Oh, there you go.
Growing up, did you attend a lot of powwows, you know, moving around all the time? Were you able to get to know your culture in a lot, or?
I remember when we were little kids and we lived in Minnesota, that my grandma, I remember we would go when my grandma, I remember my grandma being there, and we'd go to powwows, and I remember being a little kid and just thinking how magnificent that they were. And then when we moved away to Utah and California, no, I didn't know much about white culture. I didn't know much about it at all. I mean, I'd watch TV and I'd see the, you know, cowboys and Indians, and I'd always want the Indians to win all the time. And right. I didn't care how many cowboy Indian movies I watched. I'd always want the Indians to win, the natives, but they never did.
Yeah,
but I kept rooting for them anyways.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't learn nothing.
Did you start to know your culture? Like, when did you start to learn?
Well, when I got sober and clean, November 18th, 1990, then I decided that was the beginning of the turning point in my life, you know, that I was going to get sober and clean, and I was going to start learning. You know, I just gave it up to the Creator, and then the Creator put someone in my life, a Dewan spiritual medicine person that lived out in California. His name was Bill Daydodge, and he was an actor too. He did acting, but I got to know him and his wife, Nanette, really well, and he started teaching me a bunch of stuff, and that was just awesome that He came from White Earth Indian Reservation, and he was in a lot of movies and stuff. And I met, like, a lot of the other actors out there, Steve Rivas and Floyd Crowe Westerman and all them guys out there. And they adopted me Native way, and they all knew me as his daughter. So when I see them, they know me. But that's when I started learning, was November 18th, 1990.
That's cool. Did you attend a lot of, like, ceremonies?
Yeah, I started to then. Yeah. Started going to the powwows in California and stuff. And as far as sweat lodges, I started going to the sweat lodges out there, and a lot of them were Lakota and California Native ways. Some of them are like subterranean. I guess that's what it's called. It's sub-level, where it's partway into the ground. But I feel the Creator had me start that way to learn how to respect all spiritualities, you know, that there was a diversity. So I started learning different diversities of spirituality, which was totally awesome. You know, I started meeting all kinds of spiritual people around California and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, actually, met Don Cuejas. He came through when they first started that run for White Bison. When he had that vision, he stopped by. He just ran up and jumped in the lodge that we were having out there, and on that one reservation we were hanging out at, having sweat lodges. And Floyd Crowe Westerman had come and sweated at that reservation too. But yeah, it was pretty nice. And then as I got older, then I decided I wanted to come home, start learning more.
Right.
So you've known all your life pretty much about powwows and spirituality.
Started dancing from when I remember the time I could actually walk. I think I remember dancing out there, and I remember I saw men's traditional, and, you know, how they wear the face makeup sometimes, and I remember being scared, like, running out of the circle, like, because I guess, I don't know, I was so little, I didn't know, it looked intimidating to me at the time, but growing up, you know, I saw what it was about, and yeah, I started, there's still a lot more that I'd like to know, that I haven't, you know, growing up in Detroit Lakes, there's not a lot of involvement. We usually got to travel to the res, like, or wherever the powwows are, you know. In a white school, they don't teach us what we need to know.
Yeah.
You know, they teach us the lies. The lies of the Native American people, so.
Yeah.
I never really went into depth about it, you know. Like, I never got to really learn as much as I'd like to.
Yeah, I wonder when we'll ever address that, you know, about the lies that they teach in the schools, because it's like, you didn't go to history class either, and I never did, you know. Yep. It's because they were just teaching lies, you know. And it's like, I ditched that class too, you know. It's like, who wants to learn the lies? And, you know, you're supposed to remember those lies, and you're supposed to get tested on those lies and get a good grade on those lies.
Yeah, I remember they had someone come in, Paul Schultz was his name, and he'd come in and talk about our culture all the time, and I always enjoyed going to class with him so I could vouch and, like, you know, sit there and shake my head, like, yeah, you tell him, like, and he always told everybody, like, don't believe what you see in the history books, like, that's all lies, and I just remember all the kids in class with their jaws wide open, like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, this is true. Like, this is written. Like, that's only one side of the story, you know? Yeah. Like, you don't really...
Yeah, I remember being a little kid and being angry, even in grade school, you know, mm-hmm. that I wouldn't pledge allegiance to the flag, you know? And I would just sit there, and then this one teacher made me stand up and made me put my hand over my heart, and I just let my hand slide down. And so I had to stand there, but I wouldn't pledge allegiance because it's like I knew something happened, but I didn't know what the truth was. But I wasn't sure because I was out there in the Chamokaman world, and I didn't know how the other natives felt.
Right.
But I felt like I didn't think we liked it. We didn't care, you know.
Yeah.
About what they were saying, that it wasn't the truth, but I didn't believe it. And when they'd say Columbus discovered America, I remember being a kid and being angry because it was like, how could he discover America when we were already here? You know, what are they talking about? How can they believe that crap?
Yeah, and they still celebrate Columbus Day until this day, and it's like,
yeah,
doesn't make sense.
It's like all lies, lies.
I still get upset.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So from this day.
Yeah, I don't know when we'll ever address that issue and try to say, when are you going to put the truth in there, you know?
Right. And yeah. There's so few of us that know, you know, the real, there's only a few people. We can't teach millions of other Native American kids and other anyone at that what the real story is.
Yeah.
There's too many people that know the lies and too less people that know the truth.
Yeah, so. I remember talking to my mom about that they had passed that law about exterminating Native Americans, and then when they decided that that was not right, and that then they said, well, okay, we'll do the assimilation thing, and she said, no, that never happened. And I was like, look, Mom, here it is. It's, you know, in that one book that's Native American history, and then, you know, white man's history. And I showed it to her, and she said, that never happened. You know, it never happened. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, even our own people don't know what the truth is. Even our own people.
And they don't have, like, Native American classes in school, you know, like they teach you Spanish and Chinese and French and whatever, but there's not enough Native American people that know the truth to even teach to us, so.
Yeah.
I know it was once a class in Detroit Lakes, but they couldn't find anybody that, you know, knew Ojibwe and stuff to teach it to us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, growing up, did you learn any of the language, you know? Like, was there anybody really there to that knew, or was it kind of dying back then, too? Like, it wasn't...
Well, I think that, you know, there was some people that were interested then. It was like, you know, pre-AIM and stuff. But I remember asking my grandmother, and she sent me some... There was three books, and they were like kids' books, little kids' books, you know, that like the Waboos is for rabbit, Mukwa is for bear, mm-hmm. you know, that's they were like little coloring books, you know, and I learned those. But I don't know, I think in my family, I didn't know it was that way at all with the rest of my family, but I think I was the one that had the native spirit.
Right.
Yeah. Boy, you know, we lived in Utah, and then I used to get in a lot of fights there. It's like there was a Mexican girl there. Her name was Veronica. And then there was me. And then that was bad. I used to get in fights every day, and then I'd get sent to the principal's office, and then principal would say, why do I start all these fights? And it's just like, I'm not starting these fights, you know. I'm sure I want to come here every day, you know, get in these fights, you know. But I'd be the one sitting in the principal's office, you know. That was racial. I believe that to be racial, you know. I mean, I even got called Dirty Indian, you know. And this one kid asked me what I was one time, and I said Delaware and Chippewa, and he came up with this name, Delawachi. I don't know, so that's what he used to call me all the time. But I took that as, you know, being derogatory. And then when we moved to California, I was like, oh my God, boy, was I lost. I was so lost. In the junior high, I don't believe there was. I think there was a black kid there. And then there was my sister and me, but she was more fairer. And then there was a Hispanic girl. Her name was Linda. And then in high school, Linda was my friend. And then there was a Samoan girl, Yupali. And then there was two Japanese girls, and we hung out together. But the rest, it was Orange County, the OC. And boy, there was something else. I did not fit there at all. And I just wanted to come back to the res.
Right.
I really did. So I just used to ditch school, go over to the college, hang out, and I used to hitchhike down to the beach, and then that's when I call it checking out, but that's when I gave up. I started drinking and drugging. It's like I threw the towel and I was frustrated. And I don't recommend that to the young people. You know, you got resources available. There's the Mashomas book. I wish I would have had that book. I do. I wish I would have had that book. I wish I would have had the language books that you have now. I wished I had the cultural books that you have now. You know, the story books. There was nothing available, you know. There wasn't anything available. But, you know, I checked out. And I went off on a life of drinking and drugging and then just traveling all over the United States, having adventures. And I'll tell you, a lot of them I could have got killed, you know. And
right.
I remember coming back to the reservation a couple of times, searching, you know, but other people were drinking and drugging then too, and I was asking questions, but they weren't the right questions about the fires, you know, about the 6 fires, 7 fires. Talking about the new people coming back and, you know, not knowing the right questions to ask. And I didn't know the right questions to ask. And I was still drinking and drugging, and then I was still searching, and I didn't find the answers, so I left again. I know the Creator was watching over me all that time, because by rights I should have been dead 1,000 times over, you know. And I do not recommend that to the young people at all, anywhere. They're spiritual people, you know, you can seek on your reservations, you know, wherever you are, you know. On White Earth, there's Bill Paulson, and he'd probably recommend you to, you know, a couple of people there. On in Minneapolis there's, you know, Patricia Shepherd. And she knows, you know, people who to send you to. And then in Cass Lake, there's Helen Condor, you know. These are people I know that I trust, you know, because when people tell you, go off and seek spiritual people, there are people out there that'll claim to be spiritual. And then they're not necessarily all that spiritual.
Right.
You know, you can get caught up in some messes sometimes. You know, I can't say that I had a good experience when I first started searching. But I kept hanging in there, you know, don't give up. There's good and bad in all. If in your heart you feel like something's not right, walk away. You know, keep searching. Your spirituality is worth it. You know, you're seeking a knowledge about the Creator and the spiritual ways and your heritage and your culture, you know, is worth it. You know, yeah, there's a lot of drinking and drugging and everywhere, but...
And it's just getting worse.
Yeah, it seems like it's getting worse. Just seek it out. Seek it out.
Yeah, like, that's what's bad, you know, like... People look on the reservations and that's all they see is drinking and people doing drugs, and they start to think it's a bad place, and they think about, oh, every Native is like that. Like, no, there's still some of us who are in school who don't do that and don't do this. Like,
yeah.
There's some of us who want to go places in life.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you, you know.
And it's very hard to find. You know, there's people out there like that.
Yeah.
I know, I'm hoping to go into college for social work or community counseling on the reservation because I know there's such a high need for it. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't want to see my people dying. It's really not like that. We're supposed to respect. We're supposed to be nice.
Oh, yeah.
What would you say your values are, you know? Like, growing up, like, what did you learn? What were your values that were taught to you compared to, like, how they are now? Like,
well, I have this little bracelet, and it says, this is what my values are. It's strength, courage, honesty, loyalty, integrity, tolerance, and wisdom. You know, and don't give up. You know, that's the whole thing. That's what I did when I was younger. I gave up, you know. I didn't have any resources, you know, but there's so many resources available today. And it's like, no, we're not really supposed to care what people think. But the most important person that you should care what people think is yourself. What do you, you know, what do people think of themselves? So, you know, when these non-natives are looking at us and thinking, you know, we're losers, we're drunks.
We're not going to get anywhere.
We're not going to get anywhere, you know. What are we thinking of ourselves? Are we thinking what they're thinking about us? It's like, screw them, you know? I'm not what they think I am, you know? I'm something else. You know, I was at the First National International Native American AA Convention, and there was a speaker there, and he said, I didn't have to be stereotyped anymore. I didn't have to be a drunken Indian in the gutter, you know, that I could hold my head high and have integrity and respect about myself. For a long time, I didn't know who it was, and I'd run into other sober natives, and I asked them, were they there? And they said, yeah. I said, did you hear that speaker? And they said, yeah. I said, did you know what his name was? And they're like, no, I can't remember what his name was. And I'm like, man, who is that guy, you know? And I met all kinds of people through recovery and sobriety and everything. And then there was this Wild Rice AA convention up in Manoman there. And then I went to that. And at the time I was working as a security guard for the Shooting Star Casino. And so anyways, I was standing there. And it was a good convention, right? So then I had to work the next day on Sunday, and then Don Coyhes and Sam English, there was too much snow and their plane had been delayed. So then Sam English was on the floor and I was working, and then we were talking and we were saying, yeah, that was really a good convention, wasn't it? And he's like, yeah. I says, yeah, I remember the very first one that I ever went to. I said, it was at First National International AA Convention. I said, man, I said, there was this one speaker and he talked about having, you know, not being stereotyped anymore, and that I didn't have to, you know, feel bad about myself, and I didn't have to be stereotyped, and I could hold my head up high and have self-respect. And I said, and that made me want to get sober, man. I said, I had tears in my eyes. And I said, after he was done speaking, everybody got up in the room and they were all holding hands. And they you know, said the Lord's Prayer. And I said, I was shaken because I was like detoxing and everything like that. And I said, I never found out who that speaker was. And I felt him and he was staring at me, I'm like, what, Sam? What are you looking at me for? And he goes, man, he says, I'm totally blessed. He says, here standing before me is someone that heard my message so many years ago and that you're standing here telling me this and you're sober and clean now. And I got chills all over my body and I had tears in my eyes. And I was like, Sam, was that you? And he goes, yeah, that was me. And I was just like, oh, man. I was like, I'm going to give you a hug. And I gave him a big hug. It was Sam English that said that, you know, all those years ago. That was the first year I got sober and clean. It was Sam English. I mean, I was totally blown away. But that's the truth. That is the truth. What do you think about yourself? You know, that's what... That's what everybody's got to do on the res, man. They got to look themselves in the mirror and look at themselves and see themselves as beautiful children of the Creator. People don't have to live like that. You know, you don't have to live like that on the res either. Somebody told me this, and I believe it's true. The ghetto is between your ears. You can get sober and clean anywhere. It's a personal choice. Bottom line, yeah. It's a personal choice. It's all inside. The answer's inside. I can't say enough about it.
Right.
Yeah.
You just got to depend on yourself. You can't let, you know. I mean, if you could go to the nearest res, would you talk to every young person you possibly could to tell them the message you're telling me right now?
Oh, yeah. Like, I spoke down in Minneapolis. I spoke... around Cass Lake, I've spoken White Earth, I've spoken California, you know, everywhere. When they asked me to do this, you know, I said yes. Whenever anybody asks me, then I say yes. I believe the Creator brought me through everything that I went through so that I can give encouragement to other people. If you was an alcoholic, low-bottom alcoholic addict like I was, you can do this too. More power to you. It takes a lot of courage, and that's what they say. Courage is fear in action sometimes. What do you want adults to know about kids your age that you haven't been able to tell them?
They should take their kids and teach them about reality and about our culture and what we're really about. A lot of people need to realize, they just need to know what we're really about.
Yeah.
Who we really are and what we represent.
This program has been funded by the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.